coming to you from the City of the Weird. Exploring topics from the esoteric and unexplored to dimensions unknown. Shining a light of truth on the darkest corners of our reality. Welcome to the Curious Realm.
Hello, everybody. Chris Jordan here, coming at you live. Very sore in the malleo region from surgery. But here live this week, I thought it was very important to be here live. Mainly because next week, next weekend is the official Monsters and Legends event out in Cibolo, Texas, where we are, of course, a sponsor. We like sponsoring all of the para events that happen in Texas so that they keep happening in Texas. If you want them to happen, folks, you got to support. You got to get out there. You got to attend them. And if you're capable and a business owner, things like that, you support. So Curious Realm goes out. We support these things. We help sponsor them. We love having them on. We love the opportunity of going out and being hip deep in these little nooks and crannies of subculture, especially in the paranormal field. It is so interesting hearing people's stories one-on-one. It's one thing to hear them over the show, to read them in books, to hear other people's accounts and messages that they send us on the website. It's a whole nother thing to meet people face-to-face and see how it affected them and affected them. So we will be talking about hauntings, monsters, legends in Texas, and the upcoming festival with Barry and Brad Klinga in a little while, here in just a minute or two. After that, after commercial break in our second segment, we will be having a very interesting, not really even discussion, much more listening session from a friend, Joshua Shapiro of Crystal Skull Explorers, who has some channeled information from the future for us. So we will be talking with him about his future self, Argus, and some of the messages that Argus has imparted unto him. Some really interesting and important information for some of you out there. So make sure to stay tuned for that. Let's head on over real quick. Speaking of social media, let's hit up the social medias for this week's news coming out of, wow, sorry about that, folks, coming out of Bristol Post. People who get too close to UFOs have suffered from serious health issues. Serious health issues from BristolPost.uk. Out of The Guardian, starting new evidence reveals that gladiators fought in Roman Britain. That was, of course, something that was talked about for years, but not proven until just now. Out of CBS News, 35 people detained after a coordinated attack at Atlanta's, quote, Cop City police training site. And out of Yahoo.News, twisted Russian execution video shows hero's last words, glory to the Ukraine. That is just some of the news that's fit to print out there, folks, on our social media group. Stop on by Facebook, join our group. That is where we have discussions. It's where we post articles. Over 1,000 people there having fun every week, carrying on conversations. While you're there, of course, make sure to stop on by CuriousRealm.com. That is our website. That's where you can find all of the episodes. That's where you can find our newly constructed store, where you can actively find the book, Chasing Ghost Texas Style. That is the book by our guests, Brad and Barry. Guys, how are you doing today? Welcome to the show.
We're doing good. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. I was very excited to find out that we had our very own paranormal convention. Well, I guess really much more Monsters and Legends convention going on right here in Texas. How long have you guys been putting on events? Because if you hop over to your website, y'all have a few that are listed on there.
Yeah, we've been doing events for probably a good 15 years now. Even, you know, we had a television show on Discovery Channel called Ghost Lab back 2009-2011 timeframe. Yeah. But even before that, when we were, you know, we had our group, our Everyday Paranormal, and in the San Antonio area, we were doing investigations. We were doing events at, you know, the different festivals and locations. We were putting on private investigation events and stuff like that. So it's really nothing new to us. We ever since the show, we've, you know, kind of gone larger. We travel literally all around the world. We've gone as far as Australia to do different events. But, you know, we're San Antonio homegrown. We're from right here in the Shirt Cibolo Universal City area. And, you know, we wanted to bring some of that back. Now, about 10 years ago, Barry, we had a paranormal convention that we did downtown San Antonio that was quite successful. But we thought, you know, we've had experience with cryptids and, you know, the Monsters and Legends is more like the cryptids, the Bigfoot, the chupacabras, these kind of stories and legends that you hear all the time. But the paranormal, even if it's ghost, it touches very close to those areas as well. And a lot of people that we've crossed paths with over the years, you know, they go out and they research, they write books about this kind of stuff. And Barry and I were like, hey, let's do something, because nothing like this has been in this area before.
Well, and absolutely. And it's hugely necessary community wise. I myself am very good friends with Craig Woolheater, who I know is supposed to be coming out. I sponsor his shows, and you know, it's fantastic that there are those well-founded ones on that side of Texas, but Texas is massive. So, and coming from Houston myself, it's one of those, like, we didn't really have one either, as far as like a paranormal convention, anything like that. Plenty of investigative groups out there, but nobody's really put forth to make one happen. So the fact that you guys are actively doing that, I think, is fantastic, and kudos to you. It really is a way to further the connection amongst people in the communities. And it's really interesting how, yes, the communities of paranormal and cryptid have really started crossing paths in the last few years. How many cryptid sightings are surrounded by paranormal experience, and how many paranormal experiences include cryptids? So it's
right. You know, like Brett said, we've had our experiences over our years, and we just thought of something different. You know, we've done tons of like paranormal ghost type events. We thought, let's do this monstrous thing. And it seems like South Texas, you get like past a certain line, like Jefferson, Dallas, upper Northeast Texas, and you go south. It seems like the Monsters and Legends, the idea about them kind of dissipates a little bit. But as we've been doing research and doing this event, there's a lot of stuff that happens in South Texas that people just don't know about. And so we want to have this event because when we announced it, we're getting lots of email. So glad you're putting on one down here and kind of giving us a name down here. So that's hopefully, fingers crossed, it turns out to be a great event. And you know, next years to come, we'll do an annual thing. So,
well, I would certainly think so. Now let's kind of chat about you guys, because of course, as Brad said a minute ago, you guys did have a very, very successful show on Discovery Channel for a while, Ghost Lab, and it was really one of the seminal shows that brought paranormal to the forefront on a lot of channels. Now you're hard pressed to have a cable channel that doesn't have some sort of para or cryptid based show somewhere. in the mix. And it's really interesting to see that, like, Travel Channel has them now. They're all over. But when you guys were doing Ghost Lab, that was not necessarily the case. What was it that got you guys into the paranormal to begin with? Because it's not necessarily a family thing with y'all, right?
No, actually, no. It's not. Yeah. So just this could be a very, very long story or a very short one. I'll give you the Reader's Digest version.
Okay.
You know, Barry and I, we've always liked ghosts and things like that. Of course, years ago, there wasn't ghost shows. There wasn't a lot written about it. There definitely wasn't paranormal teens and stuff. You got your ghost fill on different segments of TV shows like Unsolved Mysteries or, you know, things like that. But, you know, we've always had experience. We really never talked about it as kids. We kind of had our own. We found out later that we had this common interest. But in the summer of 1990, I was on a vacation with my parents. I'm the youngest kid. And it was the summer before my senior year in high school. So we did this last hoorah as a family around the country. And one of the stops was Gettysburg. And it was a driving trip, and it was broad day. We were there for a few days doing all the different, you know, the stuff, battlefield tours and whatnot. On the way out of town on the third day, it's broad daylight, and I see this group of Union soldiers just kind of cruising across the field. And I think they're doing a reenactment, so I jump out with the VHS camera that I had at the time and ran into the field and started videotaping. Well, as I was panning across with them in frame, they disappeared. They disappeared, and they were nowhere in sight. There's no way they could have got out of my sight. It was broad daylight. It was bright blue skies. I looked at the tape. I saw it. I captured it. And then right there, that was my moment of truth. That was like, I know this stuff exists, and there's got to be some sort of scientific reasoning as to why. Not to disprove it, but more or less to prove it. Hmm. And literally on that same trip, I drove all the way. One of our stops was Homestead, Florida, where Barry was stationed in the Navy at the time. So when I got down there, I actually showed him this video that I had captured. I didn't show my parents. I mean, it was just one of those weird things. And you know, at that point he saw it and he for 20 years, probably until we actually got the show Ghost Side, he was the only one to ever see that videotape. Of course, until the Discovery Channel asked the question that you just asked. How did you get started in the paranormal?
Well,
so that was it for me.
Looking back on it now, Brad, why do you think that it was just for Barry's eyes? You know,
well, first of all, you know, our mom is too believe. It's too real.
Okay,
it's almost unbelievable when you watch the videotape. It is real. It's like it looks like real people. It looks to the everyday person. It would be like, well, that's just a bunch of guys. Well, it's the story that goes along with it that they disappeared on videotape. They were not real. They were ghosts. And so, you know, I don't know, to avoid the scrutiny or really we didn't give a crap. We didn't care about what people thought. We just kept it to ourselves. We weren't out to like brag about it or prove it or whatever. Yeah. It was like our own personal evidence of the paranormal.
You also have to keep in mind too, this was 1990. There was no internet. There was no YouTube. There was no, you know, there wasn't anything like that. So even if I wanted to, I would have to carry a VCR around with me to show,
absolutely.
To show people anything. So that kind of had a, you know, plus, you know, our mom is very, you know, we grew up in the Church of Christ, you know, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, she's very, you know, we don't want to upset her by, you know, saying, hey, look at these ghosts. And, you know, our dad was our dad, you know, he was our coach, you know, through all the sporting events. And we didn't know how to read him. He never talked about ghosts or anything. So it's not like we're going to, you know, confide in them.
Yeah.
Barry was the closest sibling. And it's just like, hey, check this out. Now, you go forward a little bit, you know, when we formed Everyday Paranormal, I had gone to San Francisco and did a nighttime private tour of Alcatraz. And I got to sit in one of the cells. Oh. I took a recorder with me because that's what people were doing at the time. That's when all the ghost shows started coming out. And I got voices and I showed Barry and it was like, this is either too easy or too cool. So we have to form this group, Everyday Paranormal. Let's go out and let's investigate this stuff. And I would, I kid you not when I say overnight, it's literally overnight where we were, it was like a full-time job investigating homes and businesses and,
wow,
you know,
wow,
we were on news reports and radio shows, and it was a lot.
Now, Barry, what was it like for you? Because once again, this was just kind of and I look at it kind of the same way. My brother and I, the reason I asked before we started about your ages and how close y'all were is because my older brother, who y'all will meet at the upcoming show, we're right at the same age gap, and we are, like best of friends. We can sit in a room and have a conversation with eyes, you know, like we don't have to say words, and we will be busting out laughing, knowing exactly what we're both talking about. And he would be exactly the first person that I would take something to. So for you, Barry, being the brother, what was it like for you to, I guess, have this piece of data kind of thrust upon you and brought to you in this moment of very deep trust by your brother?
Well, you know, going back, you know, when Brad says I was in the ghost, I was interested in it. I wasn't like, you know, going on a lot of ghost tours or watching the ghost shows. I wasn't watching ghost shows at all. And so when Brad, actually, when he brought those EVPs back from Alcatraz, we're at a birthday party, and he let me listen to them. And I was like, how is that voice being recorded? It was really cool. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Very spooky. But my mind quickly went to, how is that happening? Like, how does that work? And that's what kind of started turning the wheels on myself was, holy, you know, this stuff is bizarre, and it's got some natural, you know, science behind it. And so that was the time that kind of thrust me into it. Brad was probably into it a little more before me. He was actually going to the tours. He was doing EDPs. He watched the shows. It was all new to me. Once he played those EDPs, I was hooked. And so we're like, hey, you know, we can go out and find this stuff ourselves. And I was all in. So we, you know, we friends and coworkers and family, and we all got together and for an everyday paranormal. And that's how it started for me. But, you know, Brad and I, you know, Brad's, you know, younger than me, 4 years younger. So growing up, I was always just, you know, just that far away. I was like going out on dates when he was, you know, still at home.
Or yeah,
I was,
yeah.
You know, doing a lot of things. He wasn't with me. So this has allowed us to be together and do the ghost thing. And since 2007, when we formed Everyday Paranormal, we've been at it pretty much every day since then.
Yeah, the difference between a 16-year-old and a 12-year-old is huge, but a 50-year-old and a 46-year-old, not so much.
That is absolutely true.
It's getting narrow as you get older.
Yeah, don't catch up so young. I'm a 54. You're about to be 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Indiana Jones says, it's not the age, it's the mileage.
Yeah.
And, you know, years and years of doing this and being out, like you said, once you got into this and got hip deep in, it went beyond the point of hobby for you guys. It became a point of professional effort. As far as investigations, going out and actively visiting locations,
we were never expecting to be on TV or anything like that, but we wanted to build a group that was professional and like just within our own group make us like, you know, like we're kind of known in the local area as doing it the right way or, you know, being ultra professional, but like the whole TV thing just kind of fell in our laps because of us being professional, I think, and having that nice website and a lot of the evidence we put out there and kind of that presence is kind of what got us the TV show. It was a little bit of luck behind it, but, you know, starting Everyday Paranormal was, we never ever thought we'd be on TV or never even strive really to be on TV.
Yeah. And the only thing that TV did for us is really was just allowed us a larger budget to do the things that we couldn't have done on our own. you know, like just the equipment and the places that we can go and the travel. And you know, there was a point for 2 years that Barry and I were literally professional paranormal investigators. Professional meaning, you know, we got paid for it. That's what we did for a living for a couple of years. And you know, that's, we were one of the four original ghost shows out there. The different channels, the cable channels. You had Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi. You had Ghost Adventures on Travel. You had Paranormal State on A&E, and you had us on Discovery. And those were the four shows that kind of were the big, you know, the main ones, the original ones. And we wouldn't trade it for the world. It was tough. Let me tell you, it was to say it was a job. It was grueling. We wouldn't trade it for the world because of all the experience that we got. It allows us to do the things that we do for regular jobs. But our regular jobs are 40, 50 hours a week. This is probably 50, 60 hours a week, with the paranormal stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a lie. That's not even an exaggeration.
I can feel that, because I'm very much the same way with my endeavors and with helping targeted individuals, things like that. It is not a part-time thing, and it's not a hobby. It is a passion. And it's even one of those that it comes to the point where profit does not matter because of the passion.
If we were in it for the profit, we'd be out of it a long time ago.
Yeah, right? Exactly. There you go, folks. Sorry about that. My ring light just went out. Creepy. let's start getting into some of the investigations that you guys have actively done here in Texas, specifically there in San Antonio, probably one of the more haunted cities in America. So,
we've done every hotel downtown. We've done bars. We've done arenas. Libraries. We've done arenas. We've done TV stations. We've done houses. Aircraft carriers. We've kind of done it all in Texas. So, Battleship submarine. Added that to the list just a couple of months ago.
Oh, wow. But, did y'all get to go do Battleship Texas?
No, well, that's actually a cruiser.
USS Stewart.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We went to SeaWorld Park in Galveston.
Yep.
The USS Stewart, USS Caballo.
All right.
The submarine and World War II class destroyer.
And what was that experience like for you guys?
Going into it, I mean, we've done the USS Lexington probably 9 or 10 times. We've done that a lot. So we had some sort of something to gauge it on. But I tell you what, the submarine there is crazy active. It was active all the time. Every time you went down the sub, and it's not like a sub of nowadays. This is World War II. You can barely fit 10 people in that thing. It's shuffling sideways to get through the aisles and whatnot. All the original equipment is there. But we're hearing, I mean, ship's whistles, and Brad's daughter saw an actual apparition and just craziness. And it was just like within about a couple of hours of being there. But we're definitely going back, and you can actually stay on the ship. They allow you to sleep there that night. And so, you know, that's going to be an annual event that we do probably every February, is go down to Galveston and do those two ships.
Wow. Yeah, and now when it comes to hauntings, when it comes to spirits and gathering evidence and using equipment on site, what are some of the protocols that you guys put into place to make sure that photographs that are taken aren't just stray? To make sure that, you know, EVPs aren't somebody's voice down the hallway, that kind of stuff. I know there's tons of folks out there wanting to go out and do their own paranormal investigations, even squatching, stuff like that. But what are some of the techniques that you guys start off with whenever you get into a property?
And first of all, we make like, especially with audio sessions, we make sure that the immediate area is as quiet as possible. If there's multiple people in there, everybody has to find a spot. Everybody sits down. There's multiple recorders going, so you can, if a voice is heard or something like that, you can go to other recorders to see if it was also captured a little bit closer. That way you could maybe ascertain that someone else made a noise. Plus, just we're very experienced in audio analysis and looking at frequencies and knowing that these frequencies that come across as voices that you cannot hear with your ear come across as a low frequency, and it plots that on the map. So, you know, you can hear a sound and an EVP that sound the same to the ear, but the EVP is a frequency that's at a level that's lower than the threshold of human hearing. So, you know, that shouldn't be there. So there's a science to it as well, as opposed to just listening something and hearing someone say hello and then going, yeah, well, I wonder if someone said that somewhere else. There's a lot more that goes into it than that. You know, photographs and any kind of video, there's multiple videos, there's multiple points, there's, you know, video and photographs is mainly just for documentation as opposed to trying to find a ghost. It's to ascertain where everybody's at. You know, a video, yeah, you have a whole system of video in there and you're running audio, you can figure out, well, this audio recorder picked it up and look, there's nobody within, you know, 500 yards of this at that time. So those are the kinds of things. We've done investigations like here in our hometown church. We caught a serious, serious shadow apparition that appeared and walked out. And Barry and I went back down to the house the next day and we ran it through the ringer just to make sure that, you know, this wasn't something else. So there's a due diligence that you have to do to be able to, you know, call something, I hate to say paranormal or odd or without explanation. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that is something that I am a believer. I have had my paranormal experiences. I have had my UAP experiences. I need no other evidence other than my experience, and I am always prone to believe the experiencer until proven otherwise. But it's interesting to hear you, even after having a show, all that kind of stuff, saying that you aren't looking for photographic evidence. Whenever you're taking pictures on site, it's more like, hey, take a picture of the before and after of that thermometer reading real quick, you know, to verify things like that, not actively looking for apparitions in the photos per se.
Right. And if we do find something in a photo, or it literally has to be like a dude standing there that we know was not there. It's not like,
yeah,
oh, look, it's a faded, you know, wask of light or something, or a mist.
Yeah.
We don't hang our hats on those at all. It is literally got to be a dude standing there.
Yeah. Like,
where did that dude come from?
Well, because I'm an audio video engineer. That's what I do for a living. And I unfortunately break a lot of hearts in social media groups. When it comes to video anomalies, photo anomalies, things like that, tricks of light. And yeah, unfortunately, most of them can be explained. So like you're saying, to go out looking for fully explainable phenomena doesn't really necessarily make sense and is kind, yeah, of a waste of effort. King Gerhardt.
In all honesty, we have one photo. We only have one photo, wouldn't you say, Barry, that we would say is, yeah, that is something.
The out of how many?
Yeah.
Tens of thousands.
Yeah. Yeah. And
well, probably two, one for Bernie Library too. It's pretty cool.
Oh, the Bernie Library, I would say two, but yeah.
Yeah.
And two out of tens of thousands, we would say, yeah, this is not right.
And that's just it. King Gerhardt, who will be, of course, speaking at the upcoming Monsters and Legends, was on the show not too long ago. And we were actively talking about, you know, evidence for cryptids, Bigfoot, things like that. And he was of the same opinion as you guys when it comes to photographic or video evidence. Like, it's not going to cut it. We need something more tangible than that. And even interestingly enough, when it comes to UFO UAPs, a lot of people get very upset with like MUFON, because they won't accept a ring video. You know, like here's a video for my ring camera. And they will straight up ask people, did you see the object? Oh, no, but I have it on my ring camera. Sorry, that's not a sighting. And they will literally not accept the footage because no, you didn't have eyes on it, which is what we are categorizing is sightings. So, you could catch all kinds of anomalies with a ring camera at night with a night vision mode on it. You know,
right.
So if
moths and every other kind of bug that flies around,
every single one, all kinds of strange lights and everything else. Like all somebody has to do is shine a remote control through a window and you'll get a strange looking apparition thing on the building across the way, you know, just from the refraction of the infrared. So yeah, you can get all kinds of strange things, and good on you guys for actively going through the effort to exclude that to begin with. I think a lot of people get very caught up with putting a lot of effort into looking at things like that when it's like, how are we going to, even once you have that, how are you going to quantify that now? Whereas when you're talking like you are, Barry, about audio, things like that, EVP, where it's like, look, we can put this into a spectrometer and we can actively see the bandwidths of audio. It's pretty amazing what you can do with just regular consumer software now off the shelf when it comes to audio processing, audio cleaning, and especially audio frequency detection. It's pretty remarkable. But when you guys are out on property and investigating, how often have y'all had physical experiences while you are there? Is it typically the case that you will hear voices, or do you hear voices when you listen to recordings later?
Both. We've had what we call VPs, voice phenomena. We have EVPs. We catch it later on an audio recorder. We see apparitions. We've been pushed. We've been seeing object manipulation with our eyes as well as video. We've pretty much seen and heard pretty much everything there is to see and hear. But like you said before, it's kind of our personal, we're not getting this stuff to really make a name for ourselves. We're getting this because it's ongoing research and we're comparing it. And it's not just because we're using correlation of evidence. We have to have not just an EVP. What was the EMF doing? What was the humidity doing? What was the barometric pressure at the time? What was the moon phase? What was the, all these other factors? What was going on? And a lot of times we have changes in barometric pressure, changes in temperature, changes in EMF, at the same second that we catch an EVP or we get a video or we heard a noise or whatever the case is. That's what we're after, is actually quantifying millions of points of data over time to almost predict the paranormal, which we haven't gotten to that point yet, but we're getting close because we have literally gone before, and instead of finding the EVP, we'll go on our EMF data loggers that capture EMF like every 2 seconds over, say, a 10-hour period. We'll find the anomaly on the EMF, and we'll go to the timestamp because they're all synced by time. We'll go to the recorder on that timestamp, and sometimes more than others, we'll actually catch an EVP going the opposite way after finding the EMF anomaly. So we're trying different things. And that's one of the problems with the paranormal community is just we're so stagnant. We're so set in our ways of, all right, so I turn the recorder on and I say a couple questions and then I listen to it. Okay, let's go to the next one. That's it. That stays in that recorder forever. Yeah.
Half the time people don't even go back and listen to it. They'll go home and that'll be on the recorder forever. They'll just delete it because they didn't get the thrill in the moment. So, you know, like I said, the thrill is gone at that point.
That is something that we bring up on this show regularly, Brad, is the idea of, once again, one of the reasons I loved you guys' show was it was not pure sensationalism. Most of them that are out there now are about as sensationalistic as you can get. And it's one of those, it's pretty rare when you're out in the field that you actively stop and look at footage or anything like that. Like that is a post process where you take a day or so afterward to ingest everything into a computer and go through and fine tooth comb things. It's very rarely something that is done in that energized, adrenalized situation, you know? Because that's how you end up with false positives. At that point, you are more looking to confirm your belief than you are to disprove what you may have gotten. You know, we should be willing to challenge what we get. And like you said, accept the fact that if we caught something every single time, it would not be paranormal. It would be normal.
Right.
You know, like,
and if you think about it, some of the anomalies that happen, like the natural science of things and mm-hmm. things we just can't explain, it is normal. It's normal to the environment. It may not be normal to us, but it is normal. It's not paranormal.
Well, that goes of the you know, not everything is paranormal. It is the spirit of a dead person. I mean, it's literally recordings and things in the environment that happen naturally. Or, you know, if you could even go into, parallel universes and quantum mechanics and, you know, that whole thing and how those work, you know, based on, you know, Einstein's theories. There's so many reasons why these things could happen that it's just not, oh, yeah, that's the spirit of my dead grandma that's talking to me. It goes way beyond that.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. And it's interesting that you say that because that is something that we discuss on this show regularly, Brad, is the idea that these topics that were once really fringe in the world have really come around to a point of science almost. When you start talking about paranormal, ESP, UAPs, UFOs, cryptids. It's fascinating to see the fact that science as we know it now is accepting the fact that there are strange things that are there. There are strange forces at work. And that, yes, the possibility of something being left behind, something being imprinted, whether it be a residual energy, what have you, is fully possible. Like right now, I don't know if you guys are aware of it, but the Bigelow Institute actively has $1 million worth of grants out there for anybody that can prove contact with the other side. For anybody that can viably prove that they have contact with spirits on the other side.
That's a safe bet because that'll never be proven. Because you can always introduce 1 ounce of skepticism into anything. Anything that's even scientifically proven, you can offer 1 ounce of skepticism in. And that's not 100% proof. You know, that is, yeah, that's not the case. You know, the grass is green, the sky is blue. Well, no, it's not. Not 100% of the time. You can offer up other. So that's a safe, sure, bet that I think that is more for, I don't know what exactly it's for, but they know that they're never going to give up that $1 million.
Well, it's more the fact, cause they gave away $1 million in grant money. I know Jeffrey Mishlove was the winner, of a huge essay contest that they had last year about, the existence of energy beyond life here. And he gave some great, great evidence, and was actively the winner. I want to say he won as first place. I think it was $500,000, something like, yeah, that for his paper.
More, that's theory, not proof though. I think when they use the word prove, that's when it goes into a whole other category.
Well, and yeah, yeah. And it, you know, when you're talking something that, of course, that's the thing, is the quantifiable, the tangible. And when it comes to the science, that's, kind of like what King Gerhardt said, to where the rubber meets the road. That's where we're going to find out. Like it's not going to be a photograph that leads us to it. It's going to be DNA. That leads us to it. It's not going to be a photograph that leads us to the spiritual and the spectral. It will more than likely be a huge discovery in either energy or dimensional science, I think.
Yeah. Because unfortunately, with today's technology, you have every means to recreate, replicate, falsify.
Yep.
You know, just with social media and propaganda and, you know, the instantaneous dissemination of messages. And it is so convoluted, I think, now that's a detriment to science, because it's never just, you know, like COVID recently, there was all the fours and all the against, and everybody had valid points, but you know, there's misinformation, and that's what the paranormal, and that's why I'm afraid that it's become so convoluted in that with the technology of today, that I think it's gone to a point where you can't. Now, 50 years ago, when you didn't have certain things, and if you had these thoughts and you could quantify it, sure, it'd be a little bit more believable.
Yeah,
but maybe that's just my pessimism.
Well, you know, but the thing is, you have to have a healthy amount of pessimism. You know, once again, I am a believer's believer, man. But I also know that because of my deep founded belief in these things, that means that my realm of proof and evidence has to be greater than the average bear, you know? And once again, it can't just be a photograph. We've got to have much more data than that. To go into it. And right. when you're talking about it, it's interesting now to see, even from when you guys started with Ghost Lab shortly before that, the realm of technology that is now available to the average person just off an Amazon list is pretty remarkable. I've got lab grade Geiger counters, man, you know. They were at one point really hard to find. They aren't anymore, you know. So if somebody is out there looking for, I guess, that arsenal of paranormal equipment, what are the things that you recommend that a beginner start out with if they're looking to kind of get into the paranormal experimentation world?
You got to have a good audio recorder. That's probably the first thing you need to have. Something that you can actually download on your computer. The second thing, and it's funny that this is probably our first thing, actually, of us speaking, are data loggers. And it's so funny that we use those in Ghost Lab. Nobody uses those. And we still think that's probably the most important piece of equipment you can have, because you're analyzing the environment. You're gathering data constantly.
Yeah.
You're not like poking an EMF detector around the oven in the microwave. Oh, we got EMF here. Oh, it's not here. It's like, oh, put data loggers there. Now I can map it and I can actually show through software that we've developed. I can show the path of a ghost. I can show anomalies come and leave rooms. I can tell you when the AC kicked on. I can tell you when the zipper sound was happening. A lot of things I could tell you, and I'm not even in the room, but I'm relying on my data loggers to give me a picture of the environment when I cannot physically be there to test the environment. And nobody, I say nobody, there are a few people that we know, you know, just because of the company we keep that, but other than that, most groups do not use data loggers. I think that's a necessity. You gotta have it.
Well, because it goes to what's the motivation? Is the motivation just having fun on a Friday night, or is the motivation to actually sit down and do work afterwards? That's probably not the case.
Yeah. Well,
most are just out for a Friday night, good time, thrill. Hey, we went to a spooky place, we heard a sound, and we all got scared. And
yeah, we've all heard stories.
We're gonna have a beer afterwards.
And, you know, it's really interesting.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. But I would, if anything, because I've done my fair share of paranormal investigation and been involved with groups, things like that in the past. I would consider it probably the closest to podcasting out of all of the fields, would be paranormal, because everybody thinks they can give their hat in the ring, you know? And the fact is, yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into that. There's a lot of work. Even if you were to go out, most people don't really realize the metric amount of data that happens. Once you've recorded video, now you've got like, okay, we recorded 4 hours of video. Great. Now you have to watch 4 hours of video, not once, but twice, so that you can fine tooth comb it. And at that point, now you have 4 hours of audio to listen to as well. It really does metrically add up outside of just the evening of experience. And like you said, that's really, where a lot of people kind of get lost, is that they realize like, oh, wow, wait a minute. If you actually want to do this, it's a lot of work. And there is a lot of work on the back end, much more work on the back end than there is going and visiting and gathering data for a night.
It's all how you, you know, it's all how you portray yourself. If you want to have a group to go out and have fun and experience things, that's fine. Go knock yourself out, but don't sit there and hide behind, you know, we're here to, our group is doing this and this, and we're here to help people. And we're here, you know, it's like, no, you're not psychiatrist. You're not psychologist. You know, you can't help people in those runs. In fact, it's a very dangerous thing to cross when you try to start diagnosing things of that nature without a medical degree. You know, and you see it too much where they sit on the science and they say, we're scientific, we're this and that. But when you ask them, well, what are you doing scientifically? They say, well, I'm listening, I'm taking audio recordings, and I'm taking video. Well, that's not science. That's something my 14-year-old son can do.
Yeah, anybody with a trail camera can do
cell
that.
Phone. Yeah. So, you know, what are you doing to move it forward? What are you doing? And it's like, if you tell me I'm gathering data from multiple sources and over time and building data models on it, then I can say, you're doing some good work. But other than that, you're just out for a good time. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You have an interest. You have an interest. You study up on ghosts. You read books. You read theory. Fine. But unless you're putting that into practice, you are not a scientific paranormal investigator. I'm sorry. I probably piss a lot of people off.
No.
By saying that, but it's the God's honest truth.
I am happy that you say that, quite honestly, because it's one of those that there is a distinct difference. And, a prime example would be when I went to the MUFON convention this last year. I heard a couple people leaving the book section like, oh, this is an alien con. It's like, no, it's not a pop culture convention. Like, Right now, there are people taking a 9-hour class on how to be a field investigator and how to gather data. You know, like it's an actual scientific convention talking about evidence gathering and cases throughout the year, things like that. It's not a pop culture con necessarily.
Yes. Some MUFON people I know are the most boring people I've ever met in my life.
because it's about the science.
Because it's analytical. Yeah. It's very analytical.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Precisely. And, you know, once again, you can ruffle a lot of feathers in a lot of communities like that. You sure can, because, unfortunately, not everybody is about the science. A lot of people.
All I gotta say is put your money where your mouth is. That's the moral of the story.
What has probably, because one of the things we talk about regularly on this show is the other side of the coin, the flip side of the equation. The fact that everybody thinks that they want to have a paranormal experience. I don't know. I've got a lot of books on these shelves from people that have. Most of them did not enjoy it when it happened to them. You know, what has been probably the most frightening experience that you guys, let's hear from Barry first and then Brad individually here. Frightening case that you guys have encountered while you've been out in the field? Barry, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, my story is going to be the same as Brad's story.
Okay.
I'll just read together.
Digest version.
At the same time, go.
We investigated a ghost town actually down in South Texas near Karnes City called Helena, Texas. And this was years ago, probably 10 years ago. Myself, Brad, and our friend Johnny Hauser from the Melissa Axe House, he came to Texas. We went down. We were going to go down and film like a little documentary type thing. And so we went there, and it's a ghost town. It's an old courthouse and a sharecropper's cabin, an old jail, and across the street from this little area is the founder's mansion. Who founded Helena? The last name was Ruckman. We went over to the Ruckman mansion, and it's straight out of a Alfred Hitchcock movie. This house is like the epitome of the definition of a haunted house is what it would look like. The old wood and the steeples and the round windows and the inside was, you know, old baby dolls and just old furniture and pictures on the wall of people we didn't know. And it was like the Haunted Mansion at Disney World, pretty much. And while we were there, we heard, we caught an audio as well, but we heard with our own ears this voice come out of the thick darkness. It was like this mumbling, like, whoa, whoa. We could not understand, but it was very guttural, mean and nasty, almost sound like an animal. And we're like, what was that? And we're like, yeah, it startled us. We're like, what was that? And so we checked for animals. We checked for vagrants. We checked for everything we could possibly think of. Nobody's there. We're in the middle of nowhere. And so we leave. And it's about an hour and a half away. I come home in my truck. Brad lives on the same street as me. I dropped him off, came around the block, pulled up to my driveway. I put my truck in park, turned the keys, and I pulled the key out. And when I pulled the key out in my truck, you heard that same voice. Rural, just mumbling, guttural, loud voice in the cab of my truck. And man, we're bailing out of the truck. Like, what is going on?
Wow.
What is that? And it's like, you know, whatever it was, it just rode 2 hours in my truck. Well, Brad also had some experience at his house that night as well. We didn't know this. He didn't know what happened to us. I didn't know what happened to him. Next morning, we go back down and we had some more filming to do. We also left our equipment there. We had to go back and get it. And we got there, we put our laptops on the bed of the truck, and we're listening to the EVPs. And sure enough, we caught whatever that voice was. We caught what it said. And it wasn't the mumbling, guttural voice. It actually said, I'm going to kill you before I leave.
Whoa.
Is what the voice said. I mean, clear as day. I'm going to kill you before I leave. And so they're like, whoa.
And we said this house was out in the middle of nowhere. This house was out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, probably 80 miles, you know, or I know it's probably like 50 miles to the nearest semblance of a town. You know, just oil fields and cow pastures and whatever else. And to have a voice at 2 a.m. Just manifest 3 feet in front of your face in the darkness.
Oh,
is, you know, that'll give you nightmares alone, much less the damn thing following you home.
Yeah. Yeah. And were there any experiences beyond that? With that entity, or was that pretty much it?
Not with the same entity, but I was upstairs and I heard it again, not just an EVP, but I heard it. I actually felt the breath on my ear, and it said, told me to effing leave, effing get out of here.
Wow.
And that was like right in my ear. I spun around. I thought it was Brad messing with me, and he was nowhere. He was in a totally different bedroom. So whatever was in there didn't like us to be there. Now, should we tell the rest of the story, Brad?
We will say this.
That go ahead.
There's other families that kind of live. They live near there, and they're the ones who turned us on to the place that allowed us to come down there. They have said that in that mansion, they feel like they're being watched. They don't feel welcome. Something, you know, gripes and cusses them out. So this isn't the first time there is actual claim to that. But, you know, you hear claims all the time. Do you expect to experience it? No. So that's one of those be careful what you ask for. You just might get it situations.
Yeah. Precisely. And once again, much like the images that y'all have, 1 in 10,000 experience. You know, this is not something that y'all have had at every location you've been to. How have your experiences out in the field changed you? Because once again, it's not like this is something that your family is into. It's not like something, you know, like, I know my kid will probably definitely be like 8, 9 years old talking about aliens because that's what dad's into, you know? So it's not like you guys, once again, were brought up hip deep in paranormal or things like that. How have these experiences changed you over the years? And do you view them differently than you used to?
Me personally, it desensitized me a lot to this kind of stuff. You know, before you would tell a story like that to someone that's never had experience, they'd say, I don't know how you even, you know, don't have PTSD or anything like that. But you're talking, we've done so much in this. We've experienced so much. And, you know, to the point of things being predictable, like Barry was talking about earlier, that shoot, I can probably go fall asleep on an abandoned autopsy table. You know, I could probably, you know, if it gets real late and we're in like an abandoned hospital, you know, the darkest, dankest corner, you know, I might doze off and fall asleep, you know, just because, you know, you kind of get comfortable in those environments. Now, whether that's a good thing or not, I'm not sure, but we do know that when your guard's down is when a lot of this stuff happens. So it's actually probably a good thing that we are comfortable in these places where you're just not completely tense and we just feel that, you know, you're going to miss stuff. And that's me personally. I would just say I'm probably desensitized to a lot of it.
Yeah. And what about you, Brad?
Brad. I would say the same. Yeah, that was Brad. You're just like my mom, Brad. Sorry. They get confused.
Sorry. Sorry. Barry, what about you?
I would say the same thing pretty much. I mean, we've just been around so long. It's just become... It's still exciting. Don't get me wrong. And I think when we were doing Ghost Lab, and we were filming every day, you know, we were on the road for 8 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
And so every third day we're at a new location. It got to where it was like, oh my God, I don't want to do this no more. It got to be, it's a job. And I think what happened when we left, when Ghost Lab went away, kind of took a break. Mm-hmm. And as the break got longer and longer and longer, when we did go investigate and something happened, the excitement came back. And so I think nowadays, since we don't have the pressure of making the show and producing evidence for the mass audiences out there that want to hear and see ghosts.
Yeah.
You know, it's more, I think it's made me more, I don't take things for granted, I guess, anymore. It's like when things happen, it is more exciting now because that's not a job to me anymore. It's, I do it because I love it. I did it because I loved it back then. But when you're on a TV schedule, you're at the mercy of that network and you have to do what they tell you to do. And you get to go where they tell you to go and when to do it and what, you know, so it's,
you it's are
very grueling. You're like, God, I don't want to do this no more.
You are so, part of a product that is being delivered. Absolutely.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And yeah, it can be hard. It can be especially hard if you're somebody that doesn't want to compromise their science end of it. Like you said, the last thing you want to do is be manufacturing evidence for a show, you know? Because beyond any show, you still want to carry on your career as an investigator. And you still want to be able to help people out and look into these things.
Yeah, we've noticed that the experiences actually probably started, you know, increasing again. We had a lot of experience at the beginning. As we did Ghost Lab, it seemed to get less and less, like Barry said, but then we kind of got back into it. Just a real quick story. We're in Gettysburg, and this is years later from that first story.
Mm-hmm.
We're standing on a street corner, probably got 2 or 3 in the morning, foggy outside, and between Barry and I, all of a sudden there's this man, this apparition standing, long black coat, kind of like a duster, a cowboy hat, very tall. Between Barry and I, like if we could reach out and touch, and we didn't freak out, we didn't anything. We let it sit there for a little bit, and we kind of observed it. Not we say a little bit, you know, several seconds. Then I said, Barry, did you see that? And he's like, just real calmly, yeah. I said, the black coat and the hat. And he's like, yeah, just like that, nonchalantly. And we were like, what the? You know, we were able to let something manifest and kind of soak it in. Mm-hmm. And that's just because we've been around it so long. I don't think we would have had that experience if we were, you know, see something and jump like a couple of, you know, scared teenagers.
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. And, you know, a lot of that, like you said a while ago, does come with experience and getting used to, I guess, living in that adrenalized state, you know, no different than somebody going out on a rock and roll stage. You get used to the butterflies and they become your friend, you know, and you kind of use that. How much do you think some places are, I guess, more a magnet for that than for true paranormal? Is it the case that some places are perhaps manifested because of people's belief in the place? Or have you found most haunted locations you've gone to be truly spirited inhabited?
Well, I mean, I'll speak for just real quick. We talk about Gettysburg a lot, but we've been in Antietam and several different Civil War battlefields. The Civil War was a very harsh war. It was very deadly and bloody, and just a lot of trauma that's not in a lot of wars were in the Civil War. And we have found that we can walk out on a Civil War battlefield from Gettysburg down into Virginia that we've been to, and we get stuff pretty regularly, like pretty rapidly. And it's because, you know, our theory is, you know, environments are basically stained with energy. And the more energy that happens in a condensed period of time, it soaks into the environment that much faster and will last longer. And that's so battlefields are like, we have found that, you know, that we'll get a lot of stuff off of battlefields. But we also theorize about this kind of stuff. And we've got, I mean, I can't, you know, we say that we got one picture out of 10,000. We probably got 7 or 8 EVPs in one visit.
Wow.
And an apparition that walked out in front of us. I mean, it's just that those places are unbelievable. In Gettysburg, you've never been there. Just go.
Yeah.
And just go sit on the street corner at midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. It's something else.
I've been to numerous places from antiquity, and it's interesting going to them because there is an energy about them, period. And especially whenever you talk about things like Antietam, Gettysburg, that kind of stuff, those were strange, macabre scenes going on because there were literally people picnicking. Like watching the battle go on,
mm-hmm.
on the Absolutely. Side.
It was a hell on earth. It was a hell on earth, and it was a spectator sport.
Yeah,
to some extent.
It's just this strange mix. And yeah, I could see how that energy would stick around, because of how visceral it is. Man, I want to thank you guys for your time this evening. For your candid answers to some of the questions that I've had. Let everybody know before we go, number one, how can they get a hold of you guys if they have a property that needs to be investigated, if they have a location that they know of that needs to be looked at, evidence gathered, things like that. And also, where can they go to get tickets for the upcoming event?
Well, the answer to that is one place. They go to everydayparanormal.com. You can also go to our Facebook, Everyday Paranormal Events. There you can actually private message us. That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of us is PM us on that, on the Facebook. We answer them pretty regularly. But to buy tickets, you can go to everydayparanormal.com. Click on Monsters and Legends, and from there you can buy our $20 day pass, which is for the speakers as well as the vendor area. And there's also a $59 VIP experience, which the night before we're going to go out a little mini ranch nearby and have good Texas barbecue, some music, and drink some beer and nice. under the stars and get to talk with, you know, Ken Gerhardt and Lyle Blackburn and David Weatherly and Nikki Folsom and some of the others that are there as well. You can pick their brain one-on-one. And instead of waiting to, you know, listen to the speech, you get that one-on-one time. But that, you go there, and a portion of the proceeds go to charity. So $5 of every $20 ticket we sell goes to our local high school project graduation.
Fantastic.
As well as we have a car show, a classic car show as well. All the proceeds from that is going to go to the Guardians of the Children charity. So, you know, this is a community event. We have 25 vendors. We have food trucks. We have classic cars. We have beer and wine will be there. We have really good food, really good speakers. This is going to be a really cool experience. So hopefully the rain holds off. And it's a great day and we'll have a great day. You're going to be there. We'll have you set up under the porch doing your podcast. And,
it's going to be super great.
It'll be a good time.
Absolutely. Once again, I want to thank you for your time tonight. I know you guys are slammed with preparation on stuff. I know how crazy it gets the week or so before a show, but I wanted to have y'all on to help promote the show, talk about it a little bit, and I am greatly looking forward to it. It's going to be super fun. I can't wait. Make sure also, folks, to stop on by their website. As well, not only everydayparanormal.com, but theinvestigators411.com. That is where you can contact Brad and Barry if you have properties that need to be looked at or if you think that there is something there in your local area. Guys, once again, thank you so much for your time. We will see you at the upcoming Monsters and Legends Festival. So we'll see you in a week. Take care.
All right, we appreciate it.
All right.
All right, you too.
Absolutely. That, man, What a couple great guys. I can't wait to go out, check this thing out. Stop on by and check it out, folks. everydayparanormal.com/monsters-and-legends. You can stop by, buy tickets, stop by, heck, stop by and donate, just to donate to the kids that are going to be helped out by stuff. When we get back from our commercial break, we will be joined in this pre-recorded segment, as always after commercial, by Joshua Shapiro from the Center for the Advancement of Humanity. He has some messages for us from his future self, Argus, that have been channeled to him that he contacted me and wanted to discuss. So we will be talking with Joshua Shapiro regarding revelation from Argus right after this, folks. With the rise in attention to the health benefits of cannabis and cannabinoids, including CBD, True Hemp Science has become one of the premier providers of full-spectrum CBD and CBD-related products. Using a proprietary spagyric process, True Hemp Science extracts maximum benefit from the whole hemp plant. Buds, leaves, stems, seeds, even roots. Every part of the plant is used and then reused to formulate a rich, complex profile of CBD, CBD derivatives, and terpenes guaranteed to provide the relief and benefits you need daily. Visit TrueHempScience.com to experience the best CBD oils, edibles, and topicals on the market today. And use code CURIOUS7 to save 7%. Off your entire purchase of $50 or more and get 2 25-milligram CBD cookies or brownies free. That website again is TrueHempScience.com and the code is CURIOUS7. Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultational workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training, and use code CURIOUS20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is PodcastCadet.com. The Curious Realm Podcast is your source for the latest and greatest news and events in the world of the paranormal, esoteric, and forbidden knowledge. And there's no better way to spark the conversation than with items from the Curious Realm store. Choose from fan favorites like hoodies, mouse pads, coffee mugs, and more. Buy books and items from your favorite Curious Realm guests. Get your hands on the latest gear for paranormal investigations and experiments we discuss on the show. Open your web browser and stop on by the Curious Realm store at curiousrealm.com/store to buy the latest Curious Realm wear and out-of-this-world gifts for yourself, your family, or a mind that you want to open. That website again is curiousrealm.com/store. Welcome back from that commercial break. Thank you so much to our sponsors, especially our continued sponsor of WebWorks Wireless. If you are looking for wireless for your camp remote location, if you're a remote broadcaster like me, stop on by and check them out. WebWorksWireless.com is your home for unthrottled and uncapped monthly internet anywhere you have cell phone signal. Our guest in this segment is Joshua Shapiro. Joshua Shapiro is the author of Journey of the Crystal Skull Explorers. He is also the author of numerous books that we have up in our store. We have featured Joshua numerous, numerous times on the show talking about crystal skulls, information downloaded from crystal skulls, as well as messages from the other side from crystal skulls. And here recently, he and I have been in contact and been talking about the Center for the Advancement of Humanity, a new project that he has going on that he was instructed by Spirit to help create and help move humanity forward and help answer some of these questions that have kind of befuddled us for a long time. Now, I want to preface this series of conversations because this isn't going to be a one-off episode, folks. This is going to be numerous things across numerous months where we sit down, we have these conversations with Joshua about information that has been channeled to him from the future. And it's some remarkable information. It's absolutely interesting and fascinating. I myself have my crystal skull Amma here on the desk with me. I meditate with Amma regularly. How are you doing, Joshua?
Well, I'm very excited that we're in 2023.
Yeah, same.
I think that this is going to be a fabulous year. And this has to do with the message that I told you about, which we'll be talking about here in this first segment of many segments. We're also getting ready to move to Florida. So I don't know. I just have this excitement that once we get there, there's a lot of extended soul family. I've already been in touch with a few people, and we're going to be doing some great things. So our life is getting very interesting right now. But before we get started, I want everyone to know who is watching this. I am so indebted to Chris because I do not have the ability to create this kind of video that he does. And I have some important information that Spirit has given me. They're driving me crazy. I've already put part of this on my Facebook page. I'm doing like segments on Facebook that are linked to this. And I've been sending out messages, excuse me, to our mailing list, both for the Center for the Advancement of Humanity, which Chris showed you, and our Crystal Skull mailing list, because I think major stuff is getting ready to happen this year, and this is kind of what we're going to talk about. Now, one other thing I just want to mention before we get started is I'm just a regular person like the rest of you. Maybe I'm an Aries, so I'm, you know, I have that fire and I'm more motivated to go out and find the truth. But all my life since I've awakened in my spirituality, which I think started around 1980, I have felt that any important information that comes up, I must share it with other people. Now, just because I think what we're going to be talking about is really important. You may not agree with everything. A lot of the things we're going to be speaking about are very controversial. A conspiracy theory, which a lot of people now are realizing conspiracy theory is the truth. And that's why probably, you know, whichever government agency came up with that term, they did it because they knew in the future that many people and whistleblowers and so on would be talking about the truth of what's really going on. The information I'm giving you, I do not have like a special whistleblower like some people who are talking on Telegram have. This is just stuff that is coming to me. I'm listening to, I'm receiving, you know, like response. Telegram is like the key place that I'm getting stuff. But when we talk about my special experiences, then you'll better understand it. So that's a long answer to how I'm doing, but I'm very excited about this year. And I think a lot of things are going to happen, and I'm praying to the universe and to God and to whoever listens to us that maybe this year, the resources will come. If the new financial system comes, then definitely we will have this. And in the Orlando area, before the end of this year, I hope to have the first physical location for the Center for the Advancement of Humanity. And I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. I mean, there's going to be so many amazing people we're going to try to hire and bring in, and so many projects we want to do. So I'm salivating about that, but I have to be patient.
It's hard not to chomp at the bit.
For an Aries, right?
You know, well, but and you were discussing a second ago the hard conversations that we're going to be having, the hard revelations that you have had. And, a lot of the conversation that we have, Joshua, is the sociology behind why people have been separated over the last few years. I mean, even politically, mind you, the fact of like, dude, there's families that don't have Thanksgiving together anymore because of how somebody voted. Or because, you know, somebody along the line was like, well, you know, I think that thing came from a lab. Oh, you're a crazy person. It just came out from the Wall Street Journal. For all of you out there who were like me, like we had content on Dudes and Beer. You used to come on Dudes and Beer before we were ever Curious Realm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We had episodes of Dudes and Beer that were removed from YouTube.
Oh,
that
really?
That were removed and muted on Facebook because we were talking about labs and leaks and the possibility of that. Nope, disinformation. This isn't real. It's not what it is. Despite the Republican panel that happened that like two news agencies attended, where they straight up said that it was like 95%. A lab leak. That was like all intelligence sources that were saying that. And the Wall Street Journal just released an article saying lab leak, most likely origin of COVID-19 pandemic. The Energy Department now says. So, yeah.
We're definitely in a different time right now.
We are. And it's hard to listen to each other and listen with open minds and open hearts. And once again, there are going to be a lot of topics in these conversations that you and I have, Joshua, that will be trigger moments for people, that will be trigger topics for people. I am willing to explore the conversation to further humanity. I believe that's what this show was about to begin with, was like, right. Hey, you want to talk flat earth? Let's talk it. Right. You know, but you got to be willing to have the conversation. You got to be willing to hear somebody's side.
Exactly. So let me first explain to the Please. Audience what triggered. See, what people have to understand is when you're kind of like a creative person, you get inspiration. Like, let's take the example when I write a book. So I haven't written a book for a while. The last one I did was on flat earth. But what happens is I get overcome by an energy, okay? And I'm giving this example because then it's going to lead into the message that I got in January, which is bringing all of this forefront and causing me to share a lot of information. So you get the inspiration, okay, you need to do a book about such and such a subject. Then the next thing that comes to me is I see the table of contents in my mind. So what we have to understand is that everything that exists gets created by the mind first. It already exists in another dimension, and then eventually it starts coming down into the physical reality. Because for me, the greatest joy in writing a book is once it's done and it's in the physical reality, and then I can start sharing it instead of just looking in my mind. It's just, I don't know how to describe it. It's just an elation. It's just amazing just to see, you know, I've been watching this for 6 months or a year, and now people are able to see it, how they're going to respond. So in January, and this usually happens to me, I think when I go to sleep, I go to these meetings in other dimensions, because sometimes I wake up and my head is filled with information or an idea or an inspiration of something I'm supposed to do. So this is what came to me. It's like these single line messages. So I want to talk about the message that came, and then I want to give examples of a couple of other ones which are very profound I've received, which I think are very important right now too. So the message in January was, we're in 2023, and absolutely this year, the truth has to be revealed to all of humanity. Okay. Now, let me try to explain. What does it mean by the truth? So we're all talking about the same thing. So the truth to me is not just the truth of who we are and the truth about our world and our history and everything. It's the truth coming from God's light or Creator's light, but it's also the truth of what's been going on behind the scenes, that we see all these crazy things going on, like in the Super Bowl, in the Grammys, where they were doing these performances. Come on, these are crazy things they're doing. They're almost, people would say they're kind of satanic rituals. Are this what?
That is what some do claim,
so
yeah.
It's kind of like what's happening right now. Yeah, so I think what's happening right now is there is a undeclared war going on. We probably talked about this before a little bit, between the light and the dark. And I remember when I first started getting involved in my spiritual awakening, that, things of God and things of the devil, you know, we learned about both types of energy, but we always felt like, you know, God is more prevalent. And the only way the devil can evolve in people is, you know, if they're following a dark path, then they're susceptible. But what is being talked about, like on Telegram, and as I told you, Chris, before we started, I'm not going to get into really high level, deep specifics about what's going on, but this information is available all over the internet, on Telegram. The major problem of finding it outside of Telegram is that all the social media and the search engines, all they had to do is cut their search algorithms. So like if you want to find something, like I started looking for things like back in the 80s and 90s, I can't find them anymore. They've removed those search terms, or they've put them so far in the back of the search, you'll never find them. Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'll just use Flat Earth as an example. Eric Dubai was one of the first people, 2014, came out with a book on this. And we're going to get into Flat Earth in another episode. I'm just using it as an example. I'm trying to be spontaneous and just go with what comes to me. In 2014, when he came out with all this.
Oh, we are losing you a little bit there, Joshua.
To Flat Earth now, and it's the people Flat Earth. There are more. Do you hear me now?
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so when you go to Flat Earth now and you look it up, what happens is you only get the people who talk about like morons or stupid or idiots or whatever. So your thing froze there for a bit. Just let me know if you still hear me.
Yeah, I hear you.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, because the video is freezing up a bit. So So this is the same thing, like if I want to look on UFOs or I want to look on some other highly controversial subject, you do a search and you're not going to find the good information right at the top. You're going to find the people that are challenging it or whatever to try to convince you, you know, that this is not something that's important.
Yeah, okay, and I mean, so, prime example is what I have up on screen right now, just a Google of flat earth. Not something that I typically look up or anything like that. And my typical source that I bring up, I mean, here's space.com, how to debate a flat earther. But the only thing that pops up with flat earth theory, model, and facts, Britannica.com. My typical go-to whenever I'm bringing up like fact-based stuff, things like that. So the only one that starts with a conversation of let's talk about the theory of flat earth is Britannica. And it is literally at the bottom of the first page of Google searches.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what this means is if somebody wants to find information on some of these alternative subjects, they can't use the search engines to really find the best sources, except for Telegram. Now, Telegram still has infiltration going on. Then some of the channels, they use channels there. They say they're fake or whatever. But what I have found is, and this is part of the key of the information I'm going to be sharing, is certain channels that I trust. And it's periodically they bring up some new things and I go, God, that's right. That makes sense. So in this series, kind of what I'm going to be doing is what I normally do when I share information is I'm going to pick the best information that I find and which resonates strongly. Like, you know, one of my gifts is I feel energy. So if I read a certain thing or somebody tells me a certain thing, I'm vibrating. So I know for myself, this is my way of confirming that there's something important that has been presented. Now, as we discuss these different areas, we're going to be talking about a lot of different areas because I want to verify that what we're going to be talking about today, what this message is saying, and what the results of what could happen this year, I want to try to verify that this information is correct. So we have to talk about a number of other subjects. And I don't know how far we'll get here in segment one. We'll go as far as we can. But the other thing is that I want to remember before I forget, there are 8 free ebooks that I have to offer to the listeners. 6 of them I have personally written, and 2 are from 2 other sources that I just found recently. One is another author who gave me permission to share it. And then another one where I can't find the source unless they tell me not to do it because I found it for free on Telegram. I'm just going to keep sharing it. And I'll talk about those free ebooks before we finish so people know what it is. But those 8 free ebooks will pretty much contain all the different information that we're going to be discussing in these segments. So if there's anybody who's like, I'm very excited, I want to know about this right away, you just email me and Chris will have for you, and I'll give out later what my email address is, and I'm happy to share them. I have been doing that since COVID started. I've been sharing free ebooks because normally I go out and I do public presentations, you know, and I talk with people, but I've only done 2 since 2020. One here in a center that has always opened the door to us to speak. You know, we did Crystal Skull. I spoke about Tartaria. And then we had one opportunity where we've vacationed. My wife, Katrina, her family has like a condo. And so when they're not renting it out, the family can go and stay there. So we stayed there and I got to go in Casadega, Florida is a spiritual center, which I can't remember the name of it. They had a fair and our friends had a booth there. They let us share their booth with them. So we were there, but the heat overcame us. So we couldn't stay for the whole time. But those are the only 2 things that I've done. Everything else is like interviews or sharing free ebooks or doing posts or
whatever. We will definitely be adding the ebook that you shared with us for this. That I'm showing on screen right now. I will definitely be adding that to our Curious Realm knowledge vault. So let's go ahead and start off with how did you come to these revelations to begin with, Joshua?
Okay, so I would say that in the early 1980s, I started on my spiritual path, and I just felt like, you know, there's more to life than the life that we all know, you know, the everyday life. There's a spiritual aspect to it. And that caused me to become a seeker of truth. And when I say a seeker of truth, it means I want to know, just like probably many of you that are watching all of these podcasts that Chris does, you know, we want to understand what's really happening, what's going on. So that started me off. And then I traveled on faith to California, and that gave me enough information to write my first book, Journeys of an Aquarian Age Networker. Now, I want to tell you about an interesting experience that came up related to that. So this segment I'm going to be doing, so your audience gets used to me, it's going to be a combination of information I've discovered with personal experiences and what came up from those personal experiences. So Journeys of an Aquarian Age Networker was just a 400 to 500 page book. I don't know. I always write big books. But with different information about the Aquarian Age, you know, what was going on, what I was finding as I was traveling, talked about UFOs, talked about crystals, holistic health, all kinds of materials in there. Of course, it's out of print, but I'm planning that when we get our center together and we get our publishing department, the dead book will be reprinted. That'll be one of the books we reprinted. But here's where this interesting experience came up on this. So this is a minor experience, but it's confirming what I'm doing right now. And it's also incredible. And I can't tell you the whole thing because I'm still checking out part of it. So there's this couple that contacted me last year, and they said, "Are you Joshua who wrote Journeys of an Aquarian Age Networker?" And I said, "Yes, I am." I said, "We finally found you." Well, there's this woman, a spiritual medium that I learned from and taught. She's passed away, and I'm continuing to share the materials that she channeled. Jesus of Nazareth came through in 1984 and mentioned you by name in a message. What? Are you kidding me? No.
Yeah.
She did. Would you like to see that message? Are you kidding me? Please send it to me. I'd be very curious. So, and I never heard of this lady. So she sends it to me, and I'm reading it, and by God, Joshua, Journeys of an Aquarian Age Networker. But this was the key, one of the key messages I can share here. He was saying to me, "Joshua, there's a lot of stuff that you've learned, you're going to have to unlearn, that's not correct." And so I'm saying, I took 40 years to get this message, and also the medium was told, "You're not allowed to send this to Joshua. You have to wait for the right time." So this is just an example of how for each of us, when something special is supposed to come up, it happens exactly in the proper time. So I got from that message that, you know, going into Tartaria, flat earth, a lot of new things that I've been looking at since COVID came out and all of that, that this was already known, that I would be starting to explore and do that. So it was kind of confirmation for me that I'm doing what I already agreed to do before I was born, or whatever you want to call it. So that was the first book I did. And then eventually, you know, in my travels, Crystal Skull book, a UFO book, I helped a man who had contact with Bigfoot to publish this book, and then start doing all these free ebooks, etc. So I've done a lot of traveling, a lot of speaking, and through meditation, through messages, I would say my first two gifts is I feel energy, and I constantly have conversation. Like even before I'm speaking to you, I'm hearing the words inside my head, in my mind's voice, which is a form of telepathy. So this message that I talked about, that we're going to get the truth this year and it's going to start coming out, that was a telepathic message, which I don't know where it came from. Maybe I was at a meeting and I heard it and I woke up and it was still in my head. I can't tell you. Yeah. I said before with the other messages, I want to mention a couple other messages like this I received, which I think are very interesting. So another message I got like this was, when you are spontaneous is when God or creator, whichever word you want to use, is able to manifest through you in the physical level in the most powerful way. So I'm going to try to make sure in our conversations, Chris, that I'm very spontaneous, that I'm not like when I'm thinking of stories and things, it's coming to me. So I'm going to trust that that's what I'm supposed to share. So that's kind of what it's like. Or like music. I'm a musician. And another way that I express this is I write songs, okay? But I'm too lazy to put words into it. So what I've done when I performed in public is I said, okay, I have this song, but I need the words. You give me the subjects, and I make it up, and they're usually pretty funny. Although there was one time I performed in a place in Chicago, you know, like a bar or whatever, where they had an open mic, and they gave me some not-so-nice subjects, and I sang it, and they threw me out. So that's funny. Funny story, but you know, so that's an example. Another message I got is anything that you can imagine, you can only imagine it because it already exists somewhere. So that's pretty profound as well. So it means that, you know, any new inventions we come up with, or new philosophies, or new ideas, or new realities, we can only imagine it because it already exists somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then this is the last one, and I'm pretty sure it came from Creator directly, is in 2020, I remember I was sitting here in this house, and I was thinking to myself, God, why would God be interested in each of us? We ourselves are so minute compared to the humongous size of the universe, or universes, or dimensions, or realities, etc. And I heard an answer to that. Why? Because of your unique experiences, of course. That's why I love you. Now, I need to explain that a little bit. Chris, I can see you're nodding, so you probably already get it. But what the message is, and I really felt like this time, this is from Creator. I mean, this is from the creation of everything that's telling me that. What Creator is saying is that it doesn't matter how you live your life. You know, you may think you're living your life wonderfully, terribly, you could do better, whatever it is, however you express it. It's a unique expression of life.
Yeah.
And that is what Creator receives from us. In other words, Creator can imagine every conceivable reality that there is. Okay. And a matter of fact, it's through the power of Creator's mind, I believe, that everything exists. If Creator stopped thinking about us, we would disappear.
Oh, sure.
But what does Creator receive from us? It's our experience. Our experience.
Now,
that's it.
Before we get into and start getting into the messages itself, and the visions that you've had that have come to you from future self, let's get into spirit, just so people are aware of what you were referring to whenever you say spirit. And when was the first time that you, because there's a creator and spirit here.
Yes.
Absolutely. When was the first time, what is spirit, and when was the first time that you received messages from spirit and started that back and forth communication that has existed?
Well, let's go with the second part of your question first. I think I was receiving messages from spirit when I was a teenager. And the reason I say that is because before I would go to sleep, and I couldn't go to sleep, I started thinking about everything about life. And I said, something's not right. And I was starting to have this internal dialogue where I was thinking about, you know, how my life was as a teenager, because I think it was around 13 years old. So I would interpret that as the beginning of the first communication with spirit. Now, spirit itself represents a level of consciousness, or a level of aliveness, something which is alive, but it exists in another plane of existence. So in other words, you know, it's kind of like there, like our soul or spirit is inside our physical body, which means that we are multidimensional beings. We exist in many different planes of existence. And so spirit to me is that level of consciousness or aliveness, which does not exist in the physical, but through telepathy, through our spiritual gifts, clairaudience, clairvoyance, etc., is able to communicate with human beings if they're paying attention and listening. Now, I think the reason why I paid attention and listened is because in other lifetimes, I've been following a spiritual path. So that part of my true essence or my soul is continuing into this life. Also, another reason I believe is because I have a memory somewhere, call it soul memory, that before I chose to be born as Richard Shapiro is actually my birth name, but Joshua is my spiritual name. Before I was born as Richard, I agreed to do all these things, to get involved in these studies and everything. And I also knew that I would have spirit guides, which means an intelligence or a living being, which is not in the physical, but would be communicating with me in some way, which is how I interpret the messages. Because like the first message that triggered me on this path now to do these segments with you, you know, I wasn't thinking this. It was in my head. It was just there. It wasn't something I was thinking myself. It's just there. And the challenge that's happened to me is I've grown more with my spirituality and, you know, getting to find out more about myself, is sometimes it's difficult to know when I'm thinking as the human and when I'm thinking as my spiritual part, or when somebody's talking to me as a spirit that's talking to me. So the way we would define spirit is it's a being that's alive that could be, that is right next to us, but we cannot see or perceive them through our physical senses, but it's very much alive. And when we pass away, when it's our time to leave this life, then we return into spirit, so we could become a spirit guide for somebody else. Okay, so it's kind of like, okay, so I just heard somebody whisper to me, it's kind of like the true essence of everything that exists is spirit, but how it wishes to explore, you know, this infinite reality that creator, you can choose different bodies. So you can choose to be in the physical world in a physical body. And it may be, and this is what I think, that only a part of my spirit is here, not my full essence. Mm. You know, it's just like a piece of me is here. Because, and this is one of the key spiritual things, is very difficult to understand this, and I can only understand it because I experience it inside. But when I've talked to spirit through spiritual mediums, or I have these conversations, and I say, what's the absolute truth? There is no time, there is no space. What? What are you talking about? Here, there's time and space. You know, I move forward, I'm moving through time, I'm moving through space. What do you mean by that? On the higher levels, there is no time, there is no space. Everything happens at the same time in the same place. It's just different by the vibrational frequencies. The difference in the vibrational frequencies. Example, from Star Trek, there was an episode, Star Trek Next Generation, warp goes to this band. And then some kind of strange phenomenon happens to him when he's going back to the Starship Enterprise, and he starts moving from parallel Earth, not parallel Earth, but parallel universe to parallel universe. It's like Geordi LaForge in his visor, he has some energy that triggers his transformation of moving from one to the other. And so he blacks out and he looks, and everything's almost the same, but Captain Picard, who wasn't at his birthday, all of a sudden he's there. You know, so he's traveling. So this is kind of the idea I'm talking about, that there are parallel Earths, that are other dimensions of reality, but the highest level is where spirit is. I said this on Telegram, and I thought, wow, this blew me away. The ether, either E-T-H-E-R or A-E-T-H-E-R, Einstein would not include ether in his theories, so his theories are not correct, according to some people I've talked to. But that's just a sideline. I'm going to throw in sidelines periodically, sure. Chris. But the ether, somebody said, could be where the spirits are. The ether is the energy frequency that creates our four basic energy patterns: fire, earth, wind, water. The ether is the one where they all, that's what they're talking about. So, like, for example, if I, my father and mother have passed away. I know I'm throwing a lot of stuff out really fast, right, but that's my jump. So let's say my father and mother have passed away. So I'm going to link in right now to my dad. Okay. He's in spirit. Okay. As a matter of fact, at his funeral, and I had explained this to my family, that I would be talking to the spirit of my father to explain what was going to happen to him next, so he wouldn't be afraid. So my father saying to me, son, now I see why you're doing all this crazy stuff. I didn't get it when I was alive, and I'm really proud of you, and I know what's coming on ahead because now I'm in spirit and I see so much. And plus, I love the libraries up here. Okay, so that's his comment. Great libraries up there. He used to love going to the library. Okay, so maybe I'm making that up, but that's what it feels like, my conversation. So I just link into him, but it's kind of like a telepathic, and I kind of see what's going on, but my vision, my inner vision's not my highest. Although, well, there have been like three or four times recently where my third eye popped open and I couldn't go to sleep because I kept seeing these scenes when my eyes were closed, and I'm used to it being totally dark. Go ahead, Chris, ask your question.
I was going to say, in addition to this, is the fact of, because like you're saying, future, past, present, all happening simultaneously. Some of this information comes to you via your future self. And yes. is it Rise? Is that how it is pronounced?
No, it's called Argus.
Argus.
Argus is the name. Okay, so this is what Chris is asking about, and it's going to lead me into my two experiences, so that's why I know what our future, well, I have a sensing of the future, and I share it with people. I can't prove this, but this is where it comes from. So when I talk about this, your listeners understand.
And that's so why I wanted to preface that, so.
Yeah, okay, so this did not happen first. This happened second. No, actually, I'm wrong. It happened first, and I didn't realize it. But let me talk about what happened when Argus communicate with me and who Argus is. So one day, you know, again, it's a telepathic communication. I'm minding my own business, and I like this name Argus because it represents Richard Joshua Illinois Shapiro. Okay, that's where it comes from. And Illinois Shapiro is kind of my fun name because, you know, you can see my picture there. I wear an Indiana Jones hat, so I call myself Illinois Shapiro because I'm traveling around the world and I'm doing investigation, and I kind of feel like that spirit. So all of a sudden, Argus comes, and he starts talking to me, and he said, you know, when you were in Brazil and you received information about the future, that came from me. Oh. Now, the information that came from the future is in the free ebook. It's called Messages from Argus. So you can either get it through Chris or you can get it from me. And it basically talked about a future where, you know, all the parents are, I'm sorry, all the adults are parents to all. Total peace and harmony. It's not nations, it's community. We have extraterrestrials walking among us. We have fantastic technology there. You know, it's like whatever any of your listeners could dream about, a future with total peace. That's what I was being told about. It was being described to me. So Argus says, I'm the one who gave that to you. So does that mean you're in the future, Argus? Yes, but Joshua, I'm you in the future. What do you mean you're me in the future? I'm who you're going to become. You're going to change your name to Argus. So this is part of the reason why I talked about that there is no time. Because if there is no time, it means that, like, for example, you could communicate with a future part of yourself, whether it's a future life or a future part of yourself in this life. It means that you could talk to people you've been in the past. Like, you know, my music ability, I didn't really have somebody teach me. Okay. it just came. I picked up the guitar, I learned the basics, and all of a sudden I'm writing songs. And I started to do that a little bit on the piano or the keyboards too. I can't tell you where it comes from. I'm playing spontaneously and I hear a song. So Argus is the future me, and Argus is part of the reason that I know, and he tells me these years, 2037 to 2040, the Earth is going to have total peace. I know this because I'm living it right now. I'm here. Really? Can you tell me how it all happens and everything so I can let everybody know? No, I'm sorry. I cannot tell you any of the circumstances that bring this future. I can show you in your mind's eye because you're me. So part of what I was describing to you, that's what I see in my mind's eye from him. But I cannot tell you how you become me. You have to go through all those experiences. Otherwise, you wouldn't become me. It would change everything. The only thing he would tell me, which was kind of funny, so I said, Argus, where you are is the center for the advancement of humanity still there? Are you kidding me? It's all over the world. What are you talking about? So that's the answer he gave me. Now, for some of your listeners, this kind of conversation could be, this is like people who write science fiction stories or whatever. They make it up and it's not real. But for me, when he's talking to me, this is extremely, extremely very real.
Sure,
so
sure.
I either have to trust it or I don't trust
it. A lot of my listeners would probably be like, Chris, didn't you recently do an episode about Corey Good? Yes, I did. However, Corey Good claimed his experience to be something that he lived. That like, this happened to me, they took me, this is what happened, and now he is saying that it was all channeled. That's a totally different situation than you.
Really, is he saying that now?
Yes. Literally. Oh. In deposition, Joshua.
Because there are other super soldiers.
Oh,
like
sure.
Corey Good.
Sure. No, there are numerous other people. There were people before Corey Good. That's right. The thing. There were people before. But he's saying that everybody after who is claiming the same thing that he said is delusional. That everything that he had, the avians, everything else, the avians are his meditation guides. Right. Not something he ever said. This all came out in an 8-hour long deposition that he and his lawyer tried at the beginning to say, like, this is going to be sealed, right? Like, it's remarkable to go hear it from his own mouth, calling it intellectual property. And it's like, hey, if you had said from the get-go, a decade or so ago, that all of this is channeled information, this is all what came to me through meditation sessions, and that is what I am prefacing here. This is all stuff that has come to you through channeling, through talking with Argus, everything else. So this is not something that it's a different situation here, folks. And that's why I am giving it, the credence and the due that I am giving it, because, I am interested in this conversation. And I think it's something that we should at least court and talk with, as a side to, giving that any more bandwidth than what it needs, you know?
Well, see, now this is the challenge that we all have.
Yeah.
Is that when we have an inner experience, it cannot be proven physically.
No. No. Absolutely
now the
not.
Crystals, now the crystal skulls is a little bit different. There are people who have experience with that, and I've actually been able to do some tests with them that show, but I have to have I have to measure the energy from the person.
Sure.
I haven't found a device specifically that can measure what energies are coming from the skull themselves. So we've done tests where a person is sitting with the skull, and we've used like a meridian stress test system that measures the acupressure points. And we saw that when a crystal skull that has been activated or is alive is introduced, the energy of the person shifted. So we were able to measure it through the device, okay?
Yeah.
But an experience like what I'm talking about, or the next one I'm going to be talking about, you know,
it's an unquantifiable.
Right. I experience it inside of me, and I just share the information. That's why I'm saying for these talks we're having, each listener, you have to decide.
Exactly. Exactly.
You have to use your discernment. You have to say, does this work for me?
That is exactly what I'm saying. He claimed his as absolute fact. And that's not you. And you just prefaced exactly what I wanted to preface, Joshua. The fact of this is information that has come to you through channels of your own meditation, through channels of the future. And everybody needs to judge this on their own merit spiritually.
Right. Like one of the books I've written is called Journeys of the Crystal Skull Explorers, Travelogue Number 2, Search for the Blue Skull in Peru. Another 400-page book. I just got an email from a lady in Australia who got the book. She got it through Amazon because it's on Amazon too, or they can get it through us. And she loved it. But again, the whole book is about looking for a blue skull, which I have never physically seen. But yet, as I'm talking to you right now, in my inner vision, it's floating above my head on my left side, about at a 45-degree angle, I would say about 10 feet up, 8 to 10 feet above. It's always there. I always experienced it. It showed itself to me in vision when I was in Peru near what's the name of it? God, when you get to be 67 and 68,
Machu Picchu?
No, not Machu Picchu. It's near the central part of Peru. The northern part of Peru, and I can't remember. Oh, the Black Lagoon. That's right. Laguna Negra is what it is in Spanish. It's up in that area. So it's near the border with Ecuador. Ecuador and Peru. That's where I saw a vision of it. It literally came to me, and I saw it, and I saw that it was a sky blue color, and I don't see color usually. And, so this is part of, I think, what's starting to happen now as the vibration of Mother Earth is getting higher and higher. More and more people are having their own inner experiences. And then they're afraid to talk to members of their family because they'll think they're crazy.
Yeah.
Or they're not sure how to discuss them at all because they don't understand the experience. Why am I having the experience? But what I would say is that these kind of experiences are the veil being lifted over the other realities that are always around us, whether it's in another dimension, a parallel Earth or spirit. Now, speaking of parallel Earths, we have what are called the quantum computers, which is a real thing. You can see pictures of them. They're very expensive. They use a qubit. But according to a video that I saw a couple of years ago where it was from one of the guys, I guess, who's making them, he said that the way they work, now this is crazy because these computers are extremely fast. And I expect in this future, Arjus is talking about that we have access to these kind of computers, is that they're communicating with the other selves, the other aspects of themselves in parallel Earths, and that's how they're able to see every conceivable possibility, because that's what these computers can do. You can say, okay, I want to create this situation, what might happen? And these computers can show you every conceivable possibility. Where are they getting it from? They're getting it from the other part of themselves in the other parallel Earths. Project Looking Glass, which is another thing that's becoming quite popular, where they're saying this is a device that came from the Stargate that the Galactics brought to the Earth and created. It's based on a similar technology. A person can sit with that, and they want to see the future. And again, they're seeing parallel Earths as the possibilities. However, I have to look at my sheet here because I keep forgetting her name. Carrie Cassidy interviewed this person named Bill Woods, who claims that he worked with Project Looking Glass, and he made an interesting comment which goes along with what Arjus is talking about. He said in 2012, the other side, whatever you want to call them, the elite or whatever, who is using this device to see the future, it stopped working for them because no matter what situation or possibility they wanted to create in the future, Project Looking Glass would only show them the same future reality, and it was not the one they wanted to see. Okay, so you can imagine what it probably was that they were seeing, which was telling them that no matter what you do, you cannot change this future, this positive future, this future where we love each other and we have cooperation and co-creation and we work with our galactic brothers and sisters and we are able to create our dreams and all of that. This is what I see through Argus eyes, and this is what Project Looking Glass was showing, the future of what's happening. So that was pretty interesting. So should we get to the other experience that I had, the coma experience?
Yes. I think that that is important as far as how this came to be a normality for you.
Okay. All right. So this is what I'm going to tell everyone. All this positive stuff I'm talking about, which is living inside of me and I'm sure is going to happen. So I'm not just saying this to give people hope. I'm trying to be as truthful as possible based on my experience. This next one I'm going to tell you is going to explain to you how I recognize, like when I go on Telegram, how do I recognize what is the most important things there? Like I see Tesla, the numbers 3, 6, and 9 is very important. And I know that that's true. Or about the med beds that they're talking about for the future, where I see pictures of it on Telegram, and I know that this is correct. Where is this confirmation coming from? Your audience may not believe this one, but this is absolutely correct. So we go back to when I'm living in Las Vegas. So I helped to create a nonprofit group, a spiritual center in Las Vegas, and there was actually a Hispanic gentleman I met in Las Vegas who had a very interesting crystal skull that was going to be part of our research, which had Mayan symbols carved on it that was found in Mexico, and it came up when he was on a archaeological trip for his school when he was like a teenager, I guess, or whatever, and there were two skulls they found under a rock, and he kept one. And the skull had Mayan symbols carved on it, so it was kind of different from other ones. So, and we were going to do a crystal skull movie too, connected to this nonprofit group, but of course, it wasn't the right time. Everything fell apart. So I think this happened to me in 1991. So I went to a meeting for the center, and then nearby was a McDonald's. I was very foolish at this age. I guess I was in my mid-30s that I would still be eating McDonald's. But, you know, Aries are lazy. I don't like making my own food. I will freely admit that to your audience. Thank God I have Katrina, who's Capricorn, that loves to make food. So it balances out. So I thank God every day for that. Or if I say it in the Jewish, thank you, God, very much for giving me Katrina. But anyway, while I'm in Las Vegas, and you have to understand, on the streets of Las Vegas, you can drive 55 miles an hour, which is not normal, but this is Las Vegas. So I'm walking to McDonald's, minding my own business, and I hear this loud screech behind me, and I always think I'm protected. Because there was another time when I was in Berkeley where I was at another restaurant and somebody threw a napkin holder through the window and just missed me. So I always think I'm protected. But what happened to me is the next thing I know, my vision went from light to dark and I passed out. And now we'll go with the earth part of it. So 2 days later, I wake up and I'm strapped to a hospital bed. And there's this doctor talking. Do you remember the truck that hit you? And I remember I thought to myself, what is he talking about? Then I passed out again. And then I came back the third day and they finally released me. So I tried to find out how did I get here and what happened? So this is what they told me. So apparently while I was walking on the street and I heard the loud screech, a van struck the curb, went out of control and hit me. And after it hit a metal light post. But in the meantime, I flew up in the air and I landed unconscious in a gravel area. Okay. Now, I went back to the area where this happened, and that light post had a dent in it. So something saved me, because this is something that somebody could be killed by. But I think what saved me was, is that something took me out of my physical body. I was not there. My soul, my spirit, my true essence, I was not there when I was hit. Because if I was, my subconscious would go, uh-oh, let me take a drink here. I would have gone, uh-oh, either I'm going to be dead or I'm going to be seriously injured. And if you look at me now, I'm perfectly fine. So when I came back and a friend picked me up from the hospital, and they didn't know who to contact for me because I hadn't changed my California license yet. So they didn't have my Las Vegas address or a phone number or anything to call. So I had a friend pick me up, and I saw that on my left, the bone on your foot on the side, I had a bruise.
Your ankle?
My ankle. Thank you, Chris. And my shoulders were stiff, but energetically, I was very low. Like, when I came back, I could only go to like maybe 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then I had to rest. I had to fall asleep. I didn't have any energy to continue for the rest of the day. And then over time, I would get stronger and stronger. Now, what was really interesting about this period of time is a couple months after this, I got invited to speak at a spiritual conference in Brazil. And that's the largest audience I've ever spoken to, in public. 5,000 people, and I talked about crystal skulls and UFOs. And then an ex-wife I met there too. And when I was in Las Vegas, you know, I talked to her. And then when I moved to Chicago, because my father had heart surgery, then we got married there. So, but that's a different story. But anyway, Brazil is a very special place for me, because sometimes Portuguese just comes in my head, and I don't know how that happens. You know, I want to talk to someone, and I hear the Portuguese words. So it's really cool. Okay, so that's the human. That's what's happened to me on the physical level. Now, over time, I'm wondering, what the heck happened here? Something saves me, and I feel like I went somewhere. I remember I went on a plane, too, shortly after that, and it felt like I had been on some kind of spaceship, okay? Like, during this accident, I was taken on board a spaceship or something like this. So here's my understanding. So this is like, what, 32 years later or whatever. Here's my understanding of what happened, and it keeps growing, is I agreed before I was born that I had to attend a meeting on a dimensional level. The only way I can describe what I see of this meeting, again, my inner vision isn't good. All I can see is, like, you know how in a movie, the film, you have single frames of film. I only see a couple of single frames of where I was. So that's all I can talk about. So if you remember the first Star Wars movie, not that came out, but in the series, Princess Amidala goes to Trantor, and she's talking to all these representatives from all over the universe. I was at a meeting like that. That's what I see. I'm in the back of the room, and I see all these different beings there. And in the front of the room, they have kind of like, you know, a 3D type of screen where they're able to show things real. And my understanding is I'm there, and there are other people that are there too. Like Katrina, my wife, she thinks she was also there when I talked to her about this. The reason that we're at this meeting is because these are our cosmic brothers and sisters, and they're very concerned about what's going on Earth. And they can see the future, okay? And so they're talking about, how can we help our brothers and sisters on Earth? Because part of the problem that we have here, and this is part of the information that's going to be absolutely come out as the truth and be approved, is whether we like this or not, probably the elite are being helped by, I don't know how to phrase it, dark galactics, dark aliens, conquering type of aliens who are supporting them, that are causing all the problems. They're interfering in the spiritual evolution of humanity here. Okay. This is part of the truth that I believe is going to come out.
All right.
So what these beings are talking about is all these problems we have on the earth. How can we help? And they needed to have like people who were alive. So I'm not there in my physical body, obviously. I must be there in my spiritual body, my etheric body, my astral body. I don't know, but I'm present, you know, and I feel like I have a body. Like when, you know, when a person dies and have a near-death experience, they have a body that they see or feel themselves in floating out of their physical body. So they're asking us for advice, you know, how will humanity respond if we do this? You know, because they're very concerned, because right now, even though we have all the science fiction stories and about extraterrestrials and traveling through space and all of that, if extraterrestrials show up, it's still a big shock for humanity. You know, they can't just, you know, boldly come here. Probably if they're extraterrestrials walking here, they're in disguise. They look like us. Like, yeah. You know, some, right? Like, you've probably heard that they're shapeshifters of the reptilians, which are the ones helping the elite. They can make themselves look like human beings. Or I think, again, going back to Star Trek Voyager, where they see a, they run into a simulation by this species that comes from fluidic space. They've made themselves look like, you know, the human beings and the other beings from our universe, so they can infiltrate it. And when the doctor on Voyager gives this specific medicine or agent to one of them, he reverts to what he looks like, which is species 8472, I think they call them. They never give them a name. They just call them a number because the Borg calls them the number. So anybody that watches Star Trek, they'll know what I'm talking about. So anyway, at the meeting, I see what is going to happen to our world. I see the future. From 1991, I see what's going on now. When it's my time to return, I remember there's a kind of a man, and I know this man. I don't know who he is now, but I just felt like, you know, it was like a friend, a brother, family, that was in that dimension, and I'm yelling at him, please, I beg you, don't do this to me. Don't blank my memory. There's so much good information I saw, excuse me, that I can tell people. You can't do this. I'm sorry. But I will tell you this. I will tell you this to ease your mind. As these events that you saw start happening, you're going to know them. You're going to know what's going on. So let's look at, because you're showing this on Rumble, right? Let's
yes,
look at, can we look at COVID and the vax as an example? I saw those things before they happened. That's how I knew when it started coming out in 2019 and then came here to the United States in 2020. Do not believe it. Do not follow what they tell you to do. The masks, now they're talking about the masks did nothing to help with COVID. Or like you were saying before, doctors are coming out and really talking about what's going on with the vaccine. I knew all this stuff. And I also understood that, like the city Wuhan in China, they had already given them some vaccine when they turned on the 5G. That's why there were so many people in Wuhan that had serious problems with COVID when it happened, which I have never seen anybody else talk about, although I have seen people talk about that they think 5G does do something with the COVID. And plus the fact the idea of virus is inaccurate according to doctors. You cannot get sick like this from a virus. It has to be something else.
Well, sure. Let's start getting into the messages from Argus regarding the future.
Okay, so we'll change that. So basically what Argus is telling me for the future is that the children in the future will not understand our experiences that are happening now, because the chaos, the wars, all this type of activity, it will no longer exist on planet Earth. So the children of the future will not understand it. We will be able to go visit our galactic brothers and sisters, they will freely be walking amongst us. It will be perfectly normal during that period of time. People will have the freedom to study whatever it is that you want, like whatever makes your heart sing. You'll have the ability and freedom. You will not have to worry about money. Everything will be free. Everything will be barter and exchange, which is kind of like what Star Trek shows in the 24th century. Literally, it will be a golden age. It will be totally paradise. Now, the thing that I get from him is that even if the message I gave you is correct, that the truth is going to start coming out, probably not exactly all of it, but a good enough portion of it that people are going to start waking up and finally understand where we live and what this world is about. I can't use the word planet anymore because I believe in flat Earth, but we'll get into that in the future. That it's going to take about 15 years, let's say, for us to adapt and accommodate it, because in where he is, there's a very advanced technology which we have been gifted by galactics or created by advanced civilization in the past, like Atlantis or Tartaria. There's going to be the spiritual philosophy. It'll be very apparent to everyone. Like, I've received messages from Pleiadians who are in 5D or higher that say in their reality, there can be no disharmony whatsoever. It cannot happen. So this is what Argus is kind of talking to me about. So this is kind of the future as he has presented it to me. And this meeting that I attended, which I talked about, is where I saw all the help that we're going to get to create this future. Now, Kerry Cassidy was interviewed by Jean Decode, and I've been able to talk to Jean Decode 4 times. And she made a very interesting comment, which helped me to understand kind of like what's going on right now. And she said the following. She was talking about the aliens, you know, that the elite working said that the AI really took over these aliens, and it's guiding them, and it's what is hungry for data to do the same to our world. But the other comment that she made beyond that was the positive galactics like Pleiadians, Arcturians, these seem to be two of the races who are very interested in our center. And they've told me, by the way, when we have our center and the extraterrestrials are walking amongst us, we will be doing public events with them, and we will be sharing their knowledge and information. We'll be one of the centers to do that. But she said the positive galactics are very concerned about what's happening to Earth because they don't want this taking over without permission, really. And interfering in the spiritual evolution of a race to keep continuing everywhere. And so this is the reason they're participating. Now, I have to move into a document that I saw. This is very important. This will explain a lot to people about what's been happening and why the elite are losing and have already lost. This is, and I don't know what this document was called, and there was another interview I did when I started. The interview stopped working, okay? But because you're recording it, it's going to get through this time. So I saw this document on Telegram, and actually I told you that I had a link to a video where you could actually read it. That link's not valid anymore. So that should tell your listeners something that somebody doesn't want you to know this. Supposedly, this is a document you have to sign if you want to work with the elite on any of their projects. And there were two key points that I remember from reading this document that I thought were significant. So number one is they said everything we do is about poison. So if we look at COVID and the vaccine, you see that this is an example of how they do things. So they create a poison for humanity, which creates a challenge or a problem. And then they come up with the solution, which is another poison. So they create COVID in this lab in Wuhan, which is what they're talking about. I'm seeing this now, the Republicans, this is what you mentioned to me before. And then they create the vaccine. team, which is totally untested, and they offered this to do this. But if you go on Telegram, you can see people who have taken the vaccine all of a sudden, like if it's a politician, a sports person, like that Buffalo Bill in the game with Cincinnati, which was canceled, where he had this heart attack. The way that he fell was exactly the way I watched on Telegram other people have taken the vaccine falling down. It was exactly the same. So I think that Buffalo person died. And, you know, what they're talking about on Telegram is that they have cloning. I think they cloned him because now he's like running around and he's great and everything. You know, how does a person go from having a near heart attack to being in physical shape just a couple of months later? So as Corey Cassidy was talking about, this process of this interference has to be stopped. And so this is kind of what I think is happening with these positive galactics. And this is another reason why there's like wanderers and star people who are galactic beings that say, okay, I'm going to incarnate in the Earth as an Earth person and help people be a spiritual teacher, a healer, whatever, or during this period of time of truth when it comes out to help people, you know, to build this golden age or the great awakening or the new dawn is what Argus has called it to me. So that's kind of some of the messages Argus has talked about and what I'm thinking. Now, again, I hit a whole bunch of things right now, and I don't have a whistleblower, although Gene Decode, when I talked to him, has talked about some of these things with me, especially talked to me about the Ukraine. That's really important. So I don't know if we have time to get into that. We can wait for another time. But that seems to me to be the key thing that's going on right now that everybody focusing on, but they're not telling us the truth of what's really happening there.
Well, I think more than that would be, especially whenever you're talking about, because that's political things that have been boiling and roiling in the background for years that have literally gone unchecked and untouched. And they really should have been checked and touched by a lot of people. But when you're looking at situations going on sociologically, when you're looking at situations going on, like one of the things that we talk about regularly on the show is UFO UAP disclosure. Now, granted, once again, the conversation has been open. It's fantastic. It's great to see. We now have congressional panels on it. But once again, it seems like a lot of the conversation coming out of those congressional panels is money, money, money. And what do we do about national security, and how do we take care of this problem? And is what we're seeing on video, things like that. I don't think 80% of it is of extraterrestrial origin at all. More than likely, us red team blue teaming our own known quantitative against each other, or a foreign entity. And once again, are they using this trope of humanity to bring around a militaristic end? You know, when you start looking at things like Project Bluebeam and the concept behind it, and granted, there is no actual document for Project Bluebeam, folks. Believe me, I'd have the document. But it has been a theory that has been out there for a long time of, will they use an alien invasion or some sort of trope like that to push humanity to a panic as a means of mass control? And roll out of a one world, what have you.
There was a woman I saw on Telegram that I was very impressed with what she had to say.
It's interesting because once again, like we talk about on the show all the time, it does not take the great majority. People think that it takes the great majority, like, oh, you'd have to get like 70% of people behind something for things to happen. No. What you need is a 5 or 6 percentile, to really just rock the boat and make things unstable enough.
Right. Well, getting back to what this woman said, which I thought was very profound. She said, the mass, COVID, the vaccines, they're not working anymore. People aren't going for it. They're starting to wake up and realize that this is not for the betterment of humanity. So the fake ET evasion, Project Bluebeam, is what they're trying to roll out, which makes sense because they're talking about that there's UFOs in the sky and they're shooting them down. But Alex Collier, who's very well respected UFO, you know, speaker who works with the Andromedans, that's his contact, his group he works with, said that their ships are so advanced, there's no way a fighter jet is going to take any of them down.
Yeah.
So this is just a false flag event or trying to prepare people.
We're talking UFOs that in the 1950s and 60s were hovering over nuclear installations and disarming nuclear capabilities.
Right.
But a heat-seeking missile can slap it down.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I really don't think so.
Electromagnetic force field would take it out, or they could just disintegrate.
And granted, it's come out that those were balloons, research balloons, what have you. But the important thing, I think, here is the conversation and the litmus test. And what will people accept? What will they not accept? What will they demand? What actions will they demand that we take? You know, and how far can we push that? No different than what I believe the Patriot Act was, you know, whenever that came about. Not that we didn't need to do something to save things, to stop things from happening in further actions, but the Patriot Act was really far reaching. And set up for the fact of even now, you know, like it just a couple years ago before the Naruto run on Area 51, the FBI added the term conspiracy theory to the terrorist watch list.
Right. So they knew the truth would start coming out and they needed a label for it, you know, so they did that. Spirit reminded me I didn't finish about that document before.
Oh,
there was the second piece of it.
Please.
And this is what shut down the other interview, by the way, this point. This is like one of their most greatest secrets. So they talked about Prime Creator. I couldn't believe this. In their document, these people who purportedly, I don't know how any other way to say it, are basically Satanists. That's what you hear all over Telegram. Mm. That's what you see on the Grammy Awards. That's what you saw in the Super Bowl. They're talking about Prime Creator, and this is what they said. This is our greatest secret. We only are allowed to have this so-called power over the world if the people living here give us that power. In other words, they're giving their power away.
Yeah.
If they say no, if they do not agree, that's why you constantly hear
revoke your consent from the system.
Right. But the comment that I constantly hear is we are a lot more than them. So if we ever came together, this is their greatest fear. But this is their greatest fear because Creator says to them, if the majority of people, and I think we're already past that point now, I think that COVID indirectly got people so frustrated and upset and protesting, and now what's happening with the vaccine, that we're more than 50% do not approve of what's going on. They will lose everything. That's why I know the undeclared war is over. They've already lost. But there are still some of them that are doing whatever they can to bring down. Like, what are all these crazy explosions with trains and chemicals that are going on here in the U.S.? Where is that coming from? What is that about? That seems to be some form of an attack on the U.S. because their other things are no longer working. So this one point that I just said, and by the way, one of my new family I just met from Florida where we're moving, she sent me this video with, got to go to my notes again, David Wilcox, who I'm sure most of your listeners know. She sent me a 12-minute interview, and he said the very same comment. He said that the greatest thing they fear is that people will wake up and not be willing to do what they do, and they lose everything. He said the very same thing. So this is something that is commonly known. So as probably we need to come to conclusion here, since we've been talking for about an hour and a half. So let me conclude and say there is this undeclared war that's happening now. The prophecies that we would reach a time of ultimate challenge, we're there now. But I believe that if you morally or spiritually, or you don't feel right about something, just say no. Don't do that. Don't follow it. Or go out and seek the truth. Okay? Like, I'm going to give you the names of the books here in a moment. Like books like this, or try to watch videos or whatever. Try to understand the truth. Then you do not have to give your power away. They're losing. Just be patient. And I believe that this year, major truths have to come out. And some of the things we're going to have a hard time dealing with. A lot of people are going to be in shock, but that's why we're doing this these segments, to help three groups of people. Either you're like Chris and I, you already know this stuff, and we're just maybe filling in a couple of new pieces for you, or you suspect that this is going on, but you couldn't figure out how it goes, or the last group is the very beginners. Something's not right. You're not sure what it is. You know, we're just trying to offer some perspectives. But there are so many people out there right now that are sharing this. I'm just another person absorbing and sharing. It's like there's this puzzle, but the puzzle is starting in the middle. And that the puzzle we all agree is, how is life on the earth? You know, we have the sun, we have the moon. We may not totally understand how they exist there. We'll be talking about that. We have the stars. We have day, night. This is common for all of us. So the puzzle is starting in the center, but it's growing and growing and growing. It's all out there. So let's go over the 8 free ebooks that are available for all of you.
Yeah.
Obviously, Crystal Skull free ebook comes from 2018. If you're curious about what the Crystal Skulls are about, this one that he was just showing you is the messages from Argus, which talk about those two key experiences if you want to really read in more detail what it's about. And I think it also talks a little bit about Project Looking Glass, because it seems to support the message that Argus gives me. The third book is about that we're in a computer simulation. I just looked at that one. There's a man from that book, a physicist named James Gates. I send you to a video where he talks. He says, based on his research, our reality is based on binary code, which means we could be in a computer simulation. So you may want to take a look at that and check out some things. Are we in a computer simulation? Or as some people say on Telegram, is the Matrix really a documentary of our reality? We don't know.
Yeah.
The next book was influenced by speaking to Gene Decode. That's where I talk about kind of like what's happening behind the scenes, but that's only up to 2021. I then have a free ebook on Tartaria and Flat Earth. So, but Tartaria and Flat Earth is for the future, where we will talk a little more about that. But what Tartaria represents is that we haven't been given the right history, and Flat Earth represents that they have not shared with us what is the true nature of our Earth. And I will discuss in that next segment a simple proof how I can show you we're not on a globe. And that's what started me on that process. The other two books I have, James W. Lee is another writer like me who's done a ton of different books. So he has a book called, I'm trying to find it here in my notes. I think I wrote it right here, so I can give you the title. Where is it? It's something like Nothing is True, Everything is a Lie. So that's the name of his book. Very interesting. That book really will get into a lot more detail than I am to what's been happening behind the scenes by the elite. And some of the stuff they've been doing is really horrific, and I don't even want to talk about that kind of stuff. And the last ebook I got, and I'm going to just share it. I found it for free on Telegram until the source tells me not to, because I can't get a hold of them. MJ-12, Majestic 12, connected with Truman and covering up on UFOs in the 1940s when they had Roswell. Apparently, there's this book where they're answering people's questions. Huh. But basically, the reason why I think it's important, that book, and if you don't know that book, I'll get it to you, Chris.
Yeah.
Is that they're saying that why QAnon, if you've heard about, not QAnon, Q, which is helping to get planet Earth back to this peaceful future that I'm talking about, MJ-12 is involved in disclosure with the Galactic Contact. That's what their thing is. And they acknowledge Q and QAnon, that they are real and they're doing things. So whether JFK is Q and Trump is Q plus, I don't know. I don't have any touch with them. But I do know that there is White Hats and the Alliance, which would be the positive groups that are working for their positive future. I've not been contacted by anybody by that. But there has to be somebody working with the Positive Galactic. So those are the ebooks. Now, to get those ebooks, you just need to send me an email, whichever one interests you, or you can say, Josh, I want them all. That's crystalskullexplorers@gmail.com. And happy. That's what I've been doing. I haven't been lecturing, so I do the ebooks and I've been sending them out to people for free as we can do it. Fortunately, during this period of time, I know a lot of people had trouble financially trying to exist for some reason.
Yeah.
For Katrina and I, we were blessed by nature plus with Social Security. So we're not wealthy, but basically 2000, we have not had a month where we've really struggled.
Wow. Okay.
And I've been able to actually invest in some things, which again will be future, that's connected to the new financial system coming, which we'll also talk about. I've been making investments waiting for that to happen so that I can have resources to help our center also.
Well, so I want to thank you for your time as always, Joshua. It's always great to chat with you on air and off air. Please do hold the line while we close things out here with our audience for this episode. While you are online checking out all the amazing work of Joshua and the Center for the Advancement of Humanity, make sure to stop on by crystalskullexplorers.com to contact him. Make sure to stop on by Curious Realm. That is where you can find all the episodes. That's where you can find the documents that we're talking about tonight. CuriousRealm.com is our website. You can stop on by CuriousRealm.com/store to purchase Joshua's books. You can also stop on by CuriousRealm.com/story to share your experience with Curious Realm. If you are an experiencer, if you have channeled information, if you have had an experience with UFOs, UAPs, Bigfoot, we would love to hear about it. We would love to pose your questions and your experiences to our professionals and our researchers here on the show and maybe get you some more information. So stop on by CuriousRealm.com/story and share your story with us. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in, everybody. Take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and remember, stay curious. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Curious Realm. Stay tuned for more guests, forbidden topics, and hidden truths. Download the official Curious Realm app and view the Knowledge Vault on our website, CuriousRealm.com. Follow us on social media by searching Curious Realm. Curious Realm is available on your favorite podcast services, as well as YouTube, Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV through the APR TV app, available on all app markets. Curious Realm is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more great content or to become a sponsor of Curious Realm or other podcasts, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com today. Thanks for listening. Stay curious. And remember, the other side is always watching.